Welcome into in-game chat for Saturday, June 28th. Yeah, I got that right. 2025, I never know. But June 28th, 2025, Season 19, Episode 21. I am Scott.
And I'm RJ.
And welcome into the show, everybody. So, getting my adjustments made here. If you want to get in touch with us, well, we have an email address. You can go to everyone@ingamechat.net. You can also go to our Blue Sky account. You can go to our Twitter account. You can go to our Facebook page. You can also go to twitch.tv. Search for In-Game Chat and join in the chat room with everybody hanging out there. And say hello and wave and, you know, have conversation. Be jovial. Is that right? Jovial?
Jovial,
conversational?
Yeah.
Whatever, yeah. That mean be happy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Be kind. There. Join in the chat room and be kind. You don't necessarily have to be happy. There's a lot of things going on where, you know, you just may not be happy about things. But you can be kind. That's always a good way to go. So, yeah, go to twitch.tv, find us there live while we broadcast. And then, of course, we've got Discord up for anybody who needs it as well. You can go into Discord and just chat with a bunch of people hanging out in there or chat with us on the air as well. So, there you go. Welcome into the show. As a show note, well, first, let's do the thing where I slap this board a bunch of times. Even though I really only need it once. Like, I could do it right there, but we'll do it one more time.
Mm-hmm. You usually do three, right?
Because what do you do? It's, you know, when you pick up the tongs, you clap, 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 you know? Mm-hmm. When you, I don't know anything else. It's always three, for whatever reason. You know, you put something in, you're gonna smack it two or three times. So yeah, I don't know. It doesn't matter. I only need the one clip because that's the only one I ever measure against. Every time I go back to sync up the picture with the audio,
right?
I never go on the second, third, fourth, fifth, ever how many times I do it. It's always let me line it up with this first one. There we go.
And the rest will take care of itself.
It really does. So, exactly.
Yeah.
Only need one and done is really, that's it. Show note here. No show next weekend. Keep that in mind. It is a holiday here in the States. And we have the 4th of July coming up on the Friday.
Friday,
on
yeah.
On the 4th. It's coming up on the 4th. What a, you know, what a coincidence that is. The 4th of July happens to be on a 4th. But it's Friday this week. And so we will be running a replay on Saturday. Not to mention the condition I will be in, regardless. So, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, no show next week. I don't know. The surgery situation. I could be doing the show in a neck brace. Not next weekend, because we're just not going to be here next weekend. But the week after, possibly a neck brace. Probably a neck brace.
Mm-hmm.
With just what type, I'm not sure if it's going to be that hard plastic one or if it's going to be that one that, you know.
What's the one, the standard whiplash with the cotton and foam?
A little
air.
Styrofoam or whatever it is. Yeah. It just goes around the neck there. No.
Yeah. So the air cast or something.
Yeah.
Or that thing that that they put you in when they take you in the ambulance to keep your head still.
Yeah. It's not going to be the one where there's stuff drilled into my head, the halo, thing. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be anything like that, like the shoulder harness and the thing to keep my head straight. Ah, it's not going to be like that. Man. So, Anyway, that's the show note for next week. Just to let you know. Oh, look at that. Baba Brian in the chat room says, "Hey, Dave, if you're listening or watching, I don't know what Dave's doing. He might be listening, watching. I don't know what he's doing. If not, he is going to listen or watch this tomorrow or Monday or something like that. Whenever I post it. So if he's not able to listen live, he'll be listening later. So he tunes in for that. So hi, Dave. How you doing? You got fans on the internet, Dave. We should start with what we've played, and I will throw that over to, I always, you know, gracious host, let RJ go first. What have you played, buddy?
Well, for the standard fare with First Ascendant and Virtua Fighter 5, but for the most part this week I've been doing the new Money Front missions in Grand Theft Auto Online. Did a lot of stuff in there, listened to the storyline and whatnot to see what the gist of everything was. But more of the same, it's basically buying another business, well, three businesses in this case if you expand everything right. But the good thing about it is, for right now, it's only 1 million in-game currency per, mm-hmm. instead of the 2.5, and then you got to spend another couple of million boosting it up to max proficiency. So having only to spend like 1 million per for each business, it's not bad at all. Plus the fact that depending on how many businesses you have already, it incurs income for every in-game day. So it's a constant money stream of stuff that's coming in. So you got that going for you. Plus, the only thing about it that gets me is that some of the missions are, you know, they're fun, easy to play through, things like that. But this is a money laundering section of the game.
Yeah.
So you're doing criminal activity as always in GTA, but you have to do legitimate business to cover up everything, because you have a meter in your business. It's called the heat meter. And if that heat meter gets too high, you know, the in-game version of the IRS starts looking at you and starts looking for reasons to raid and everything. So you have to do legitimate business to get that heat thing down. Problem is, that legitimate business thing, dull, boring.
Legitimate business is dull and boring, huh?
Yeah. And the payout is horrible. I'll give you an example.
It's a legitimate business.
Yeah, well, I'll give you an example, though. Okay, so the first thing you buy is the hands-on car wash in the game. So, you're washing cars. Their idea of that job is basically you drive to the customer's home, pick up their vehicle, bring it back to your car wash,
yeah,
run it through the machine, take the car, and get it back to the customer's home in perfect condition. Now, you're only getting 1,000 in-game currency for this. And you get a tip if you get it there in perfect condition. So if you bump anything, you're going to lose like $70 of profit of this thing, right? So you get it there in perfect condition, you get the tip and everything, and you get maybe $1,700 to $1,600 for it. I could stand still in the game and bother nobody and get $2,000 for good behavior.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So this is how minimal the payout is.
A legitimate business, yeah.
But it's not about the money, really, in this case. It's about taking the heat off of your business, mm-hmm. so that you can't, so you won't be raided or whatever, right? So, you know, the missions basically are money laundering and Mr. Favor's work, because that's the character that you're introduced to in the story element of the game.
Mr. Favorsworth?
Mr. Favor.
Oh, Favor.
Favor, yeah. So he's the top dog in money laundering in Los Santos, right? So mm-hmm. you don't want to get on his bad side. So you want to get these jobs done right. And these jobs basically are like recovering stolen property or stealing property, so to speak, or getting things done for them before it gets to be a problem. So, you know, you get a lot of money off of that. And, of course, with the money laundering work that you're normally doing, you know, you get a good income of about, I mean, you'd probably get around two and a half to 250,000, 500,000 in-game currency in no time flat. You just keep doing these things. You just have to maintain your heat meter. So you have to do those little low-paying menial jobs to get keep things rolling for you, so to speak. So yeah, I'm having a good time with that. It's a nice, steady, easy thing to do to get a steady source of income in addition to the heists and raids and all the other things that you can do in game. So I'm having a good time with it.
Well, that's good. Yep. Anything else other than that?
No, that's pretty much just those three. But yeah, like no. I said, for the most part, GTA.
Do they release GTA 5, the one you're playing, or the GTA
yeah,
5.
GTA 5.
Did they release GTA 5 for the new consoles? For
they
your
did.
PS5?
They did.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you're still playing on
PS4? Still on 4, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you'd made the move over, buying the game a third time, maybe. I don't know. Would this be third or second?
Second. I mean, I was playing on 3, went to 4, stopped there. I mean, I didn't go on PC. I went from 3 to 4. On
PlayStation
3
to PlayStation 4, GTA 5.
Yeah.
Did you have to buy the game again on PS4?
I don't believe I did. But it's been so long, I can't recall. I don't think I did. Because 4 to 5, it's just, you got the game here, do that. I don't believe I did, though.
Hmm. Okay. I was curious. Hmm. Does it have backwards compatibility on 5? Well, you're playing it on 4, so
I'm playing
it doesn't matter.
On 4, yeah.
Okay. I don't think it has backwards compatibility because I think they released a version of it for the PS5 and the Xbox Series X that was like the enhanced editions or whatever it is for the thing. Mm. But I imagine load times are very fast.
I would imagine,
on the PS5.
Probably is.
Excuse me. Mm. So,
but I guess it's just what I'm used to, so I'm just still playing on the 4 anyway.
Yeah.
Besides, just save as much space as I can on the hard drive on that thing.
There's
anyway.
That, yeah.
Yeah, because there's... Like I said before, there's a couple of two or three titles that I want to pick up and put on the PS5 when I get a chance to. And if I'm still being able to play GTA Online on the 4 with not too much of an not any issues really, just stay as is.
Did you ever pick up Lies of P?
No, I didn't. But that's one of the titles I wanted to pick up
for the PS5.
For the PS5, yeah.
Do they have a PS4 version or just?
They do, but they do, but. Yeah, I just get on the 5.
Easily, yeah. No, I guess
I think it was I did get Dead Space already. Lies of P, Demon Souls. Demon Souls, I have to pick that up for the PS5 as well. I'm trying to think of another title that I wanted to get on there as well. It wasn't Callisto Protocol, because I looked at Callisto Protocol and I was like, didn't feel it, because, of course, you still got Dead Space.
Yeah, so I heard it wasn't great. As for me, I have played... mostly Snap, because of the limited time game events. They ended a limited time game event. We talked about a limited time game event last week that was still ongoing. That ended Wednesday, and by Friday we had another limited time game event. Just back to back grind fests. Stop. Spread them out further. I don't need back-to-back limited time events to gain cards, you know? Spread them out. Stop that. So, so I've been playing that. What else? I did start The Altars.
Mm-hmm.
I started it and finished my first day, and then it saves, and that was it. I said, okay, I'm going to stop there. I got to play it. Looks great. It's everything I remembered about the demo. I'm not even past how far I played in the demo. And I installed... See, this, I install more than I play. I installed Blueprints, but I haven't played it. On the... It's not pressure either. What would it be called? Anyway, there was a whole lot of talk about Death Stranding 2 because that released this week.
Yeah.
So I went back and I installed Death Stranding, the first one, on PC because I had not played it. And so I was thinking about it. Although watching reviews of Death Stranding 2, I say watching, regardless, watching, reading, any of that stuff, the number one comment that I read about is... This is an improvement over Death Stranding 1. This is everything that I wish Death Stranding 1 was. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it feels like, oh, crap, do I really want to go and play that and then suffer whatever it is, thinking I bet it's better in 2 now since they fixed this or they've done this or they've improved this, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what those are because, obviously, I don't understand the context because I haven't played the first one. So when they say something's better, it's like, well, why is it better? What was bad about it in the first one?
Yeah, they didn't go into specifics of what was improved. Like,
The fact that you get a vehicle a lot earlier on in two than you did in one.
Okay.
So that's kind of nice, I guess. But I haven't played one to understand how bad it is to not have a vehicle.
Maybe it's one of those situations where it was a long distance between getting from point A to point B, no fast travel, maybe something like that. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe it got tedious for folks.
Because I haven't played it. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I can't understand the criticisms because I never played the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know exactly why something is better or something is...
So you read the reviews for two. How about for one?
I'm sure I did way back when, you know.
You might get a little refresher, see what they said back then.
Yeah.
Maybe do that. See if there'll be a...
Or just play the game, you know.
Yeah.
The game that I installed, the 70-gig game that I installed, just go ahead and play it, or mm-hmm. start it at least.
Yeah.
And see what I like or don't like about it and go on from there. But man, that game has been killing in reviews. I don't know if you've paid attention to it.
No, I never played the first one.
I never played the first one either. I got it probably. I know I got the one on Steam from like a Humble Bundle,
mm-hmm.
and I know I have it on the Epic Game Store, which is also on my PC from their free stuff that they give out.
Mm-hmm.
But never actually did play it. The sequel though is getting fantastic reviews. I mean. Nines and tens all around. I mean, mm-hmm. really, really good reviews all over the place. Of course, right now you can only play it on PS5, but it'll eventually, I'm sure, see its way to PC. Mm-hmm. The first one did. Pretty sure the second one will as well. But it has been doing fantastic, which is amazing. In, what, 2-3 months, we've had at least two games that are just... blowing the charts up with Clair Obscur, mm-hmm. Expedition 33, and now with Death Stranding 2. And so, yeah, we'll see how the rest of the year shapes up, but it's looking pretty good.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I installed that. I haven't played it. Played the Alters, and I think that's pretty much it. Snap, and that's it. It's really all I've been playing. For the most part, the... using my elbows, playing with a controller, that sort of thing. It doesn't last long. I want to say I played something else. Because I was...
Was it a demo you installed, or...
Possibly.
Or a full game?
Possibly could have been a demo, I don't remember. I just know that I had controller use on almost mm-hmm. everything. I was checking with controller use to make sure I could use a controller, or if it was just a mouse click type thing, I could just click the mouse.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's making me think that I did play something else, but I do not remember. So more than likely I didn't. More than likely I was playing Snap, going through that limited time game event to get as close as I could to get that card, that new mm-hmm. card. And so, yeah. Not a lot with me, and it's going to kind of be that way for a little bit. It's going to not be a lot for me in the coming weeks. I wish it were different, but that's probably the way it's going to be for a little bit. Given what's on deck for me in the coming days. So, yeah, that's all I've done. Nothing much else. It's really not been a whole lot of playing. But hey, we got a Steam sale going on. So the Steam Summer Sale is happening. And there's not much. I mean, when I look through it, I'm like, yeah, that looks good. But I could pay $12 for that game right now, but am I going to play it? Am I going to play it right now? Mm-hmm. It's kind of where I sit. And that happens a lot. That happens a lot where I have to ask myself, am I going to play it? And sometimes I don't even ask myself that. Sometimes I'm just like, all right, I'll get it at that price. And still, I never play it.
Yeah, but that was a time when the sales was actually a sale. I mean, it was an event.
You're right.
But
no,
nowadays, no. But nowadays it's not as – the sales ain't as impressive as they used to be.
No, they're not as impressive. But you're absolutely right. They used to be a fun kind of gamey thing mm-hmm. that you would do with it. But even now, I still look at it, and I'm like, am I going to play it before it goes on sale again? Take, for instance, What was I looking at? Well, Roller Coaster Tycoon, the old Roller Coaster Tycoon games.
Mm-hmm.
The classic Roller Coaster Tycoon is available on Steam, $5. Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, Complete Edition, whatever that's called, that's also... Turn my mic off. Mm-hmm. That's also $5. It's there. I could buy them both, or I could buy one of them, but then I ask myself, are you going to play it? And this is as low as it's ever going to go, outside of some amazing deal that happens on some other key seller site.
Mm-hmm.
These things, in all the sales that I've watched over ever how many months, when these two games go on sale, they go on sale for $5. They never go lower. And I just kind of asked myself, are you going to play it before the next Steam sale rolls around? Probably not. You know, so I look for other things. There was, I can't remember the name of the game, but it's going to be delisted soon, and it's on sale for like 75 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a, oh, sure. Doesn't matter if I'm going to play it or not. It's 75 cents. Little Nightmares 2. It's like $2.50. You know? So I haven't played the first one, but there you go. I'm going to pay $3 and get two games.
Well,
I've actually added more than that. You know, I can look at it, yeah. But go ahead.
Well, it was like it's what I do with PS Plus. I mean, games are free. Just have it stuck to your account. I mean, it's not installed, but it's there for you to install whenever you're ready to
absolutely.
Do it,
so. I never pass up on free games. Regardless of what they are, I add them to the account.
Yeah, so treat the... if the price is good enough or at a level you see, like you said, it's not going to get any lower, just go ahead and get it tied to your account. If you have any desire to play it later on, it'll be there for you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's... I got The Last Case of Benedict Fox. That's $2.50. I have Super Moves World of Parkour. That's the one that's getting delisted soon, and it's like 79 cents.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, all right, sure, you know?
What's it rated?
Oh, I think it, you mean like, what is the what do the community think?
Yeah.
It says very positive.
Very positive, okay.
It's only 82 people who have talked about it, but it's very positive.
Mm.
It released August of last year. Why it's getting delisted, I have no idea. Let's see. Super Moves will be delisted from the Steam store on June 30th of this year. Online play and the editor will be unavailable after that date. I can't tell you why it's being delisted, though.
Hmm.
Interesting. I'm curious what the reason is for the delisting.
Hmm. Parkour platformer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's 79 cents. Why not, you know?
Yeah. I guess it's a third-person Mirror's Edge.
Seemingly. Yeah. Well, it's got third and first. You have both first-person and third-person if you want to do it.
Okay.
There's a game called Hazel Sky. That's like $2.50. And there, a lot of these I looked at to see, like, what's the reviews. That's mostly positive for Hazel Sky. Last Case of... Benedict Fox is mostly positive for that one. The Wizard, or the Tower Wizard, is what I was looking at. That's a brand new game, and it is overwhelmingly positive, and it's $2.50. So, little things like that is just kind of where I sit, you know. If it's $5, I kind of look like, maybe not.
Yeah.
If it's $5 for, like, two games, like, hey, you get the first one and the sequel, it's $5. Yeah, maybe, sure.
Yeah. I just went to the Steam store, and I'm looking at the some deep discounts. I'll see Kerbal Space Program for $4. Beyond Two Souls is $2. And let's see, Star Wars Battlefront 2 was $4 as well, so.
Yeah, I've gone to, what is it, GG? Yeah, GG.deals.
Mm-hmm.
I go there, and I take a look at... my wish list. I either take a look at the historical lows and see what has been dropped and come down in price. Or, what is that for sale? Oh. Or I will check my favorites or my wish list, like I said, and we'll look at there to see what is on sale. And there's a lot, like Elden Ring is down to like $28. But am I going to play it before it goes on sale again? Probably not. Am I going to play Elden Ring at all? Probably not.
Before or after the DLC is dropped with it? Yeah.
Yeah, what else is on here that I'm looking at? Yeah, Ninja Turtles, Splintered Fate.
Mm-hmm.
It's $15.
That's the top-down one, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Kind of roguelike-ish type thing. And I still kind of look at it, and I'm like, you can go lower than 15. You can go lower than 15 before I decide to buy you.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Anyway, I just pay attention to the sales, kind of remember some prices. There's plenty of like websites. There's plenty of utilities out there. If you really want to get into the whole aspect of like, is this cheap? Can it go lower? There's plenty of websites that rank these things, not just rank them, but rank their history as well, so that you can see, has it ever been lower in the past? What's the most it's been? What's the lowest it's been? What's the lowest it's been from a legit seller, and what's the lowest it's been from a key seller? Not calling them not legit, but you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So there's plenty of resources out there for you to use to kind of spend. I say spend wisely, but spend however you want to spend, you know? Because you may want that game that I'm like, why do you want to pay that much money for that game? Because you really want that game.
Yeah.
I can't question your taste.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I can,
but
yours are just as valid as anybody else's, so it doesn't matter.
But you'll buy day one doesn't mean someone else will buy day one.
For the most part. And man, I was, that Death Stranding 2, boy, seeing the review scores and looking at clips from it and everything else, just like, man, I really kind of want to play that. It's been a minute since I've stepped my foot in the pool of Kojima. I mean, the last thing that I played of his significantly was Metal Gear Solid 4.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing of his that I dabbled in was Phantom Pain, Metal Gear Solid 5.
Mm-hmm.
So, never touched Death Stranding. But now all I really see is Death Stranding 2, and I really like what I'm seeing of it.
Yeah,
we shall see.
I'm pretty much in the same boat as you with Kojima Games, but I saw the promos and things for Death Stranding, and it just didn't hook me in.
I know. So. No, it didn't. It didn't. The sequel stuff has totally hooked me in.
Mm-hmm.
The sequel stuff has been like, I'm really kind of curious, especially when I watched it, the opening gameplay that they showed where it just was beautiful. The mountainside or whatever it was that you were walking across just looks so good. And I don't know, the more I saw of it, the more I was like, I kind of want to see what happens in this. This is something I'm kind of interested in. But I'm not there, and it's also only on PS5 right now, and I don't know if I would rather have it on PC or PS5. Obviously, there's wait to see what's going, and I got stuff to play. I am not for a lack of...
Yeah, you know, me and you both got a backlog that'll keep us occupied for a long time.
I still haven't touched Spider-Man 2.
Hey, just wait till by the time it gets to PC, it'll be at a good price, and you'll have plenty of time to think about whether you want to pick up 2 and play 1.
And I still, and this is likely to change tomorrow, but I still have not set up my Switch 2, my Switch 2 machine.
You haven't opened it up yet, have you?
I have not even cracked the seal on the box.
Yeah. So.
You're exactly right. I have not opened it up. I haven't done anything with it.
Is there anything you want to play on it right now, though, that you can think of?
Mario Kart World is something I want to play on it. It's obviously not pushing me that hard to do it, because I'm not.
Yeah.
But there may be a reason for that. I guess maybe there's not. You know, I was thinking of it in handheld mode, and when we play a game in handheld mode, a lot of the times, and I don't know what you can see on the screen, I guess I can, but a lot of the times when you're playing in handheld, you know, it's this way. I don't know. A lot of times when you're playing in handheld mode, your arms are like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, screen. It's not. You know, you're not holding a. You're not trying to hide from somebody in a restaurant with a newspaper. You're holding it like this in front of you. You know, elbows bent, everything doing. That doesn't work out for me at the moment. Especially it doesn't work out for me if I am intensely gaming with it.
Mm-hmm.
my left arm especially is where I feel it the most. And keeping that arm extended is better. With a controller, and I know that the Switch 2 has that. If I play it in big screen mode, I can take the Joy-Cons, put them on the thing, and I can have a controller with me. But with a controller, I don't need the controller in front of my face like I'm holding this. I can move the controller, like, just I can hold it down here.
Yeah.
With arms extended and do what I need to do with it. It's not a problem. That's how I've been playing. That's how I was playing Assassin's Creed. That's how I was playing Doom. Anything that had a controller controls, weird, then or used a gamepad, then that's how I would do it, is keeping my arms extended and playing it that way. Because that doesn't put the strain on the elbow and the
it
arm.
Alleviates
that it
the
does.
Pressure, yeah.
Gosh, yeah. Mm. It's kind of a sorry excuse for it, but...
No, I wouldn't say that.
I know. Given what's coming up, I want to get my Switch ready to go so that I can have it to play. I want to get my Steam Deck updated. It's been sitting in its case for a while. I haven't opened it up, but I'm going to charge it overnight tonight, get all the updates for it and everything else, start downloading games that I want to play on it so I can have everything ready, and yeah, just be prepared for what's to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll do that with the Switch, and I'll do that with my Steam Deck as well. It's only 36 after. Okay, we need to take a break, and then when we come back, I guess we'll dive into the news. I need to see, we had some old news that we didn't get to last week. It was just two items. It was the Warner Brothers game split, where they divided up the different divisions of game houses and stuff. We'll talk about that. Stellar Blade, worth talking about. I have a whole thing about the best deals of the Steam Summer Sale. I guess we'll hit that since we're kind of on this. What else do we have? Not really anything that was a big story throughout the week. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Mainly it was the release of Death Stranding 2 this week, and that was pretty much what dominated anything as far as I would say gaming is concerned, you know, the talk of what's going on. And there could be stuff that I'm missing. Maybe I did miss a news item or two. So feel free to throw that in the chat room if you wanted us to talk about it, and I'll go look it up. It's I don't want to say it's old game week because, well, I guess if you think about it, these games are old. Hard to think that they're old, but because our first one is from Uncharted 3. But it's an old game.
10 years, over 10 years, right?
I think it is. Yeah. I think it's quite. I think it's very close to being. Yeah. No, it's over 10 years.
Okay, good.
But this is called Atlantis of the Sands. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Again, two in-game chats. The music's from Prince of Persia, The Sands of Time. It's called The Prison. Apparently, at some point, we're going to get the remake of that game. Hey, I noticed the chat blew up. I also noticed that we talked for about 30 minutes there, and I didn't realize that 30 minutes had gone by. But in that time, chat had a lot to say, and I want to go back through there because I'm just now seeing that. Oh, they're talking about the NFL or the NHL draft. Sorry. Yeah. Nope. They're all talking about. Okay. Never mind. Oh yeah. Thar says it's very different. You will either love it or hate it. So there's no. Or he says no middle ground. Talking about Death Stranding too.
Not a lot of things I like.
Right.
That. You know, it's like love or hate. Goodness. Was Death Stranding the first one like that as well?
What, divisive?
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Or either you're going to love it or hate
it? Love it or hate.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I know that it didn't get the kind of numbers review-wise that this is getting.
Mm-hmm.
It was not getting nines and tens. It was, you know, people were giving it decent scores, but it was not the kind of just this tidal wave of nines and tens that this thing is getting.
Yeah.
Thar says, did you finish Clair Obscur? I did finish Clair Obscur. I did not finish Avowed. Oddly enough, I was able to get through Clair Obscur. And let me tell you, just story-wise, I know that the game continues once you're done, because there's a lot of stuff you can go and explore and do more with. But I only did the main story.
Hmm.
With incidental side quest here and there that I really didn't know I was on.
Mm.
Which is fine, because you need the experience, you need the, you know, whatever it is to level up and do all that stuff. But I really just stuck with the main story and finished it. And when I was done, I was done. I moved on from there. So, but yeah, I never did finish Avowed. Let's see. I sold some of me and bought a pinball effects table for 80 cents, including tax. Not bad. Oh, man, I wish. I don't necessarily wish that I could compete against Joey Chestnut for the hot dog eating contest, but mainly because that doesn't. If you watch them eat that thing, it doesn't look fun.
Snot.
I know. Well, snot's a good word for it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look fun. It is. The hot dog first, and then the bun gets dipped in water,
mm-hmm.
and then swallowed down. And they took the fun of eating out of the eating contest.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So yeah. They took the enjoyment of eating a hot dog out of the hot dog eating contest,
mm-hmm.
and now it's just strategy of no.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, two, and I'm done anyway.
He says, no thanks. Thank God I got over buying games that are on a big sale that I know I will never play. Exactly. AC Wraith says he uses the augmented Steam plugin for Chrome. It puts info in your wish list and game pages. I have something set up like that. If I go back to my thing, I can't remember what it's called. What is that thing called? Well, I don't know. But I do have it here. It shows every time you go to an item on a store, it gives me the current best deal and where that's at. And it also gives me the historical low and where and when that was. So we'll look at Ninja Turtles Splintered Fate. The current best deal right now is $14.99 at Steam. The historical low is $14.99 at Steam back in March.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Same thing with the game plus DLC. And it's same thing with all that stuff, actually. All the bundles and everything else. It just shows you what the prices have been. But yeah. It says augmented Steam. That's what I have. It's called augmented Steam. So it's probably the same thing that AC Wraith is talking about in his comment there in the chat room. Yeah, buying a game you know you'll never play is not spending wisely. I played 10 hours of Death Stranding and gave up. The delivery part got on my nerves. Lethal Migraine says there was no reason to get a Switch 2 in the first place. You know better. Thar says, well, it could have been FOMO, but 2 weeks later, he hasn't set it up. Exactly. I'm waiting for when that game comes out that I really want. Oh, wait, that's not really how that works either. I'm going to get this console because I know at some point they're going to put a game out that I want to play on it, right? That's not really the case. Lethal migraine. I don't care if all 8 billion people on Earth disagree with me. If you're over 10, Nintendo isn't for you. And Americans really need to have more self-respect. Since the world is having kids at maybe the lowest rate in history, Nintendo should be gone and only found in the Video Game Hall of Fame. Oh, man. Death Stranding seems to be open world quap, where the difficulty is in physics rather than your fingers. Oh, okay. Mm. Lethal Migraine says at the hot dog eating contest, you get that sweet mustard belt for winning. I mean, you could probably make your own little mustard belt. So, you say a week of indigestion. The competitive eaters, they have done whatever they needed to do to their bodies to prepare for that and to get used to it. Yeah. And to, they train for it, which sounds weird, but they absolutely do. Like anything else, if you want to be good at it, you practice.
Well, yeah, I think I've heard them talk about what all the competitors do to prep their body literally for this this contest. Yeah. I mean, weeks, months in advance to do so. I mean, goodness. You go through some stuff doing before and after.
Some
the
changes,
contest.
Yeah. Go through a few changes. So, yeah, Augmented Steam, it's a little plug-in for Chrome. So whenever you browse the Steam store on your browser, it does not work for the Steam client that is on your desktop. Or your laptop, or whatever the case, the one that you open up there. It only works through the browser for that, if you want to get those. Otherwise, just go to gg.deals, create an account, link your Steam account to it, link any of your online PC accounts, and go from there. They also, by the way, have, it's not just PC gaming deals, they have console deals as well, digital, physical, that you can look at. Problem with that is that, yeah, they're sales, but for the most part, they're not like PC sales.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't get them deep cuts or those I wonder if that's legal type of cut that you get from some of the other stores. So, yeah, PC is just, I don't know, I just prefer it there. I got my OLED monitor that I'm, looking at and want to put stuff on there that's got HDR and just kind of enjoy it and everything, and yeah, so anyway, back to the Steam sale. Let's see. This comes from PC Gamer. It's talking about the best deals in the 2025 Steam Summer Sale. And some of the lowest prices yet is Black Myth Wukong. Borderlands 3 is $3. And that's the lowest price it's ever been. Cyberpunk 2077, $20. That's a great deal for that game that has all that kind of content in it.
Base.
It's the base game. It's
base
not
game.
Yeah, it doesn't come with Phantom Liberty.
Yeah.
But Phantom Liberty, I think, is also $20. So, and there may be a deal on like the bundle.
Yeah, I'm just thinking when you see a game that has DLC, a big amount of DLC content, you see that base game. I think the first thing that thinks in my mind is like, well, what about the DLC? Does that come with it? Do I really want to get that? Do I just want to wait for the bundle thing, the Game of the Year edition that we?
I don't think we're gonna. Yeah, like I don't think we're gonna get a Game of the Year edition out of this for this one. I don't know why, because I feel like they would have already done it by now.
Yeah.
Because that
was the thing. If you got the base game, then some DLC, some more DLC comes out, and then down the line you got the whole bundle of thinking one package.
Right.
The Game
they
of the Year
only
edition.
Released. Yeah. One content of Phantom Liberty is like an expansion pack.
Yeah.
All the other DLC was completely free.
Mm-hmm.
So they never really put out a Game of the Year edition because it was only one that had, they only had the one expansion pack with it.
Mm-hmm.
Phantom Liberty. All the other DLC that made all kinds of improvements and added in missions and all these other things, that was all free. So you'll get that when you buy the base game.
Yeah.
Even the updates that come to Phantom Liberty or that were built for Phantom Liberty that build into the base game itself, you get those updates as well.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get the content for Phantom Liberty, the expansion, but you get the updates that go along with it.
I guess what I'm looking for is the all-in-one. Not two separate things you have to buy, like the all-in-one bundle. That used to be a thing, the all-in-one pack.
So yeah. They do have an Ultimate Edition, which comes with
everything.
Phantom, yeah.
Yeah.
Phantom Liberty.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. The everything.
Right.
In one purchase. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Cyberpunk 2077 is $20 a night, so $21.
Mm-hmm.
The, Phantom Liberty is on sale for the same price. Right now, you can buy them both together for $38. So, you know, save $2 buying them bundled.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's not bad. Steam Deck verified, by the way. So, yeah. What else do we have? Death Stranding Director's Cut. We just talked about that. $15. But by now, you probably have it for free.
Mm.
Or you picked it up on a sale or for some, you know, a Humble Bundle thing or whatever. RoboCop Rogue City, $5. That ain't bad for that one.
Yep.
That's about right. Even though I've already picked it up, but that's about right.
And PS Plus had it for
PS
free.
Plus had it for free.
And
you're exactly right.
Then we got some DLC coming for that down the line as well.
What else? Silent Hill 2 is $41. It's a little, Power Wash Simulator is only $12. $12.50 for Power Wash Simulator. Those are the lowest prices. Now, some games that have been released in 2025. Clair Obscur, which we talked about, $45. Avowed, $46. Assassin's Creed Shadows, $53. That's not great. I think we'll get a better sale come the holiday season for that one. What else do we have? Schedule 1 is $14, 30% off there. Spider-Man 2 for a PC, $47. Final Fantasy VII Rebirth is $48 to $49, $50 basically.
Mm-hmm.
It's only got 30% off. That's still like, no. No, that's too much. It can go lower.
How old is that game now?
For the PC, not very.
Okay.
Overall, it's got some years on it.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Keep Driving, which was a game I played a demo of and streamed not too long back. I think it's regularly like $15. It's on sale for $13.50, so not much of a sale there. It's just one of those situations. Balatro is 10% off at $13.49. It's been cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Free on some
Free in some cases, yes. But even on Steam or wherever else, it's been cheaper than $13.49.
Yeah.
I think I picked it up for 12-something. For the first week sale.
Yeah.
Regularly, it's only 10%. It's regularly $15. So, good game, but definitely worth the price, but you can get it lower.
Mm-hmm.
Helldivers 2 is $32. I have absolutely seen that thing lower at other key sellers. UFO 50, that's something I'm interested in. It's $20. It's 20% off, so it's $20 right now. But that is something I'm interested in. Pacific Drive I already own, but it's $15. That's half off from what it is. Thank Goodness You're Here, 35% off for $13. Satisfactory is only 30% off and is still $28. I feel like it should go down that. Some of the better games that are $10 and under, you have Doom Eternal for $10. The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt is $8. I think if you get the whole massive bundle, I think it may be 10. Slay the Spire is $6.25. That's 75% off. Civilization 6. Listen. Civ 7 I know is out. Go look at the reviews of it. You don't have to read them. You can look at the overall consensus of reviews and you can go look at Civilization 6 in the same space and you'll see right now Civilization 6 is the better game. They'll eventually get 7 fixed for whatever reason. They always do. They release. There's problems. Low rating. Eventually gets bumped up. But Civ 6 and Civ 5, which is also good, but Civ 6 is on sale. It's 95% off. It's $3. That is a ton of content for $3. That's a lot of game for $3. Baldur's Gate 3 is $48. Disco Elysium, another I've heard, very good game, which I own and have not played, $4. That's 90% off. Great deal. Yeah. Metal Gear Solid 5, the definitive experience, is $30. I feel like that can be lower. I feel like that might be a little much. Checking out the comments here. Bama Brian is on his fourth level 50 character in City of Heroes, keeping that game going. Good job. He also has Power Wash Simulator. Thar says, if you want a good Vampire Survivor clone, Keeper's Toll is great. I will check that out. And I'll tell you why, because that Ball X Pit that I played is... It was such a Vampire Survivors homage, I guess, esque type thing, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That if I could find, let's see, Keeper's... There's Keeper's Toll. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a, it's $5.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's very much a Vampire Survivors. Okay.
Very positive ratings overall. Came out October of 2024. Stingbot Games. Ever heard of them?
Ooh, it's been lower than this. The current best price on my augmented Steam browser.
Mm-hmm.
The current best price is $5, but the lowest it's ever been was back in 2023. When did the game come out?
It said release date was October.
Must have been an early access game. But in June, June 29th of 2023, it was $3, $2.99. What else is there? Let's see. Yeah, some other stuff there. And that there's a lot of bundles and stuff. So... Yeah, that Ball X Pit, man. Gosh, I wish that game would hurry up and come out. I am ready to jump on that in no time. That was fun. I want to go back to the demo, but since I've done most of everything that I can do with the demo, I'm just like, nah.
Yeah.
You know, unless this stuff carries over when the final comes out, nah. I'd rather just, wait till the full game's there so I can continue to keep going with it. So, all right, we're going to take another break here. When we come back, we will dive into the news here that we've got. It just, it's going to be odds and ends. Again, there wasn't really... one single story that that stuck out. Yeah, City of Heroes is still a thing, by the way. It was revived by the fans with, I don't want to say NCSoft's blessing, although they did give them, NCSoft said, sure, go ahead, you can do this. Because there was worry of a legal battle. Mm-hmm. But NCSoft say we're not doing anything with the IP anymore. Go ahead and, you know, you're free to revitalize it and do your own thing at your own expense. There's no cost to it. They can't make money off of it that I know of because of that. But absolutely free to play, I believe.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Sounds like the same issue that happened with Bomber Games when they made the Streets of Rage remake.
Mm-hmm.
Sega really didn't have an issue until they started re-releasing Streets of Rage on, like, Android and stuff like that. Then they had problems with the better version of the game being the remake.
Yeah. But we'll be right back with more of In-Game Chat. We are going to go back to, oh man, Dante's Inferno.
Mm.
What a great little hack and slash that was.
Yep.
Fantastic. This track is called Crossing the Styx. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this.
Thank you.
Welcome back in to In-Game Chat. Music from Far Cry, the first one. It's main menu music for the game.
You ever play that?
I did, yeah.
Oh, okay. Never did. Always heard about it, but just never.
That was back when you had to go about. That was back when you had to buy PC games from a store. Yeah, there was no way to buy. There wasn't a storefront for it. You know what I'm saying? You had to go. So I have the box, you know, at the house.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was back when you had to buy PC games from a physical box with a disc in it. Mm-hmm. So. But yeah, there you go. Going into the news. What do we have from the Warner Brothers stuff? We'll jump into what we missed last week real quick and move on from there. But Tuesday, week ago, Warner Brothers confirmed it had promoted Warner Brothers Games Montreal studio head to oversee the Harry Potter and Game of Thrones games, while NetherRealm studio head Sean Hemrick is going to oversee the Mortal Kombat and DC games. The restructuring comes during a period of significant overhaul at Warner Brothers Games Division because, their president left the company following a 12-year tenure. Warner then announced last month that it was closing three internal game development studios and canceling its Wonder Woman game. That was, of course, when we lost Monolith Productions. Sad, sad loss there. Player First Games, the folks that did Multiversus, and then a mobile-focused studio, WB San Diego. They were all closed. So, Warner Brothers Discovery announced this month they plan to split into two companies, Warner Brothers Discovery Streaming and Studios. The Warner Brothers Discovery Global Networks with games coming under the Streaming and Studios company. So, that's how that's going to go. Speaking of that, there was a leak or some concept art was discovered for another Batman Arkham game that never saw the light of day. It was going to be Arkham Knight's follow-up. And it had concept art. New concept art from WB Games Montreal's canceled 2015 Damian Wayne game. It was called Project Sabbath. It was shared by the character artist of that game. These pieces clearly show Damian, an older Bruce, Killer Croc, and Huntress. I always thought they were going to do something. I know the... what was it? I want to say it was Batman... the other one, the one that Montreal Studios did. The one that's not considered part of the Arkhamverse. There was Batman Arkham Asylum, then there was Batman Arkham City, and then there Arkham was that Knight. Game in between.
What, Arkham Knight? Or?
No, it was the other one. Mm. Is it Arkham Origins?
Maybe.
I don't remember.
Hmm.
It's the one that takes place on Christmas Eve.
Didn't a lot of them take place around Christmas?
No. They always took place over like a single night.
Mm-hmm.
But
WB Games Montreal Splash Damage. That was for Arkham Origins.
Arkham Origins. That's what it was then. It was Arkham Origins.
October of 2013.
Yeah. Yeah. So the first game really didn't have a setting as far as the time of the year that it was.
Mm-hmm.
The second one didn't have a setting as far as the time of the year it was. Arkham Origins was Christmas Eve into Christmas Day, or Christmas morning, whatever the case. And it took place over that night. And then Arkham Knight took place over Halloween.
Mm, okay.
Again, in one night.
Yeah.
That's the interesting thing about these games. You play them for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. It takes you, you know, a week to 2 weeks to finish the game, but the whole timeline of the game itself is one night.
Mm.
You did all that stuff in one night. But yeah. And then I don't know about the stuff that happened out. I don't know about Blackgate. I don't remember Blackgate. I know about it. It was the handheld version of the Vita or the PSP version, whatever it was coming out, which they ported to the PC. and I think to the consoles as well. And then the other one, Gotham Knights. I don't know where that took place or when that took place or if it was over one night or over a span of days. I don't remember. Another game that's on my backlog that I'll probably never get around to playing. But going back to that, Arkham Origins had teases in it for whatever they're going to work on next. Suicide Squad was in there, I believe, but not in the sense of what we got from Rocksteady. It wasn't going to be that. We thought they were all working on another Batman game, and I think they were, and then it got scrapped, and then they took over with Gotham Knights. Yeah. Well, obviously it got scrapped because we got the concept art. That's what they were working on. So. And the other story that we missed last week was Stellar Blade's massive success on PC. It was already a massive success sales-wise on console, but when it finally got released on PC, 1 million copies in just 3 days on Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good number.
Yeah.
Pretty good number. Let's see. Stellar Blade has sold over 1 million units in just 3 days, and with PS5 sales combined, this brings the grand total of sales up to 3 million so far. It's also been fine-tuned since launch and has received 2 major expansion packs as well. Kind of interested in it.
Hmm.
So.
I'll check out for the DLC then. Because I did pick that up and installed it, but I just haven't started playing.
Did you? For
PS5?
PS5.
PS5. Yeah. It was one of the titles I picked up along with Dead Space.
All right, so what else do we have? We want to talk about sales, or lack of.
Mm-mm.
Mind's Eye. I don't know if you followed along with that, but it's been doing horribly. It was developed by people who used to work on, people who worked on GTA.
Yeah.
Which GTA, I don't remember. But they were former developers of one of the GTAs.
Mm-hmm.
And it has just been, yeah. It's been so bad that they're now preparing for a round of layoffs after a rough launch of its debut game.
Mm-hmm.
An anonymous source said that there's no definitive number yet as to how many people in the studio is laying off, but it could be 100 or more.
Yeah. Narrative-driven single-player action-adventure, mostly negative. Came out June 10th. I'm trying to see what the reviews were saying about it.
Prospective layoffs come after a disastrous journey for Mind's Eye and its developer, one that has met with speed bumps and roadblocks before the game even launched. It was released as a buggy mess, one that led to refunds from Sony in a situation similar to what happened to Cyberpunk 2077, even though they came around and fixed themselves. Even streamers paid to promote the game struggled to do so. Within days of Mind's Eye launching, Build a Rocket Boy, which is the name of the developing company, deployed a hotfix and announced a roadmap to move the game towards a playable state. It originally began as a game inside a Roblox-like platform, which was called Everywhere. That content platform isn't out yet, and with the studio's impending layoffs, it probably won't be.
Looking at some of the reviews for Mind's Eye right now, I mean, I get that. I think the gist basically is this game had potential, but the storyline was very interesting and engaging. It's just everything else about it they didn't execute very well.
Yeah,
I mean, let's see this one. The premise of the story is engaging. The look and feel of the game are good too, but all the other stuff—glitchy graphics, boring quests—my goodness, the chase quests are terrible. And the lack of polish makes this game just fall flat. I'm sad I kept giving it a chance, thinking it would get better. Now I can't get a refund.
Man?
Yeah, I mean,
That's why I wait for reviews, man. That's why I wait for things to come out. It's like, hey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The only, like, it has got to be some, I have got to either have played your game to know that I enjoy it.
Yeah.
And we'll pick it up. Like, Again, I reference, what's that one, Ball X Pit, the one that I'm really, really interested in. I will buy that day one. I have no problem saying that because I played it and I really, really loved it.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no problem in diving headfirst into that game as soon as it's released.
Yeah.
I don't know if Mind's Eye came with a demo, but or maybe it even came with a beta. Maybe there were people who were beta testing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the case may have been. There's been that, though. There's been beta tests, and there's been demos that you can play. If I can get into one of those, and I really like what's happening, then that kind of informs my decision-making. If I don't get into one of those, then I just read comments of what people think about it, if that's there to read through, and sort of decide there, or wait until it comes out, and then wait for video reviews, video footage, something like that. Wait for more people to get their hands on it, to play it, and see how it goes.
Yeah, if you got any doubt, it's not a day one purchase. Just take the time and look and see what happens. Yeah.
And just keeping with the theme, why don't we move on? Splitgate is another one that is not having the best of releases. Splitgate developer 1047 Games has announced a small round of layoffs at the studio following Splitgate 2's big launch earlier this month as part of the staff reduction. The co-founders of the studio are foregoing salaries for the time being. We're still perfecting the Splitgate 2 gameplay experience in response to community feedback, and we are redirecting resources to build the best game for our players. We are sad to see our teammates go and are actively working to help them secure new opportunities.
That's something I recall seeing a lot of ads for. A Splitgate. So a Splitgate 2, I mean. Not so much for Mind's Eye, though.
It says Splitgate 2 found itself in hot water over some of its microtransaction pricing, specifically around an $80 bundle. One of the heads of the company said if he was aware of the $80 bundle, he would not have allowed it to go live. How are you not aware? But then that response prompted questions about why he didn't know about it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, the head of the company, and one of the heads of the company, admitted that basically everything in the game store was overpriced until recently when 1047 Games parted ways with its former head of monetization. The $80 bundle was later cut in half to $40. That still seems high. I mean, I don't know what comes in the bundle, so I can't say, but it's a free game. It's also available on PlayStation and Xbox consoles. I didn't know it was free.
Mm-hmm.
It's not been, well, then that's why your bundles are so high.
Yeah.
That is exactly the reason that bundle is $40.
All reviews are mixed.
Really?
Out of the recent reviews and all reviews, it says mixed on both.
I would have thought it would have been negative, I guess. Maybe mixed is negative in Steam's world.
Ultimate Founders Pack, $60. Let's see. The Ultimate Founders Pack includes 6 character skins, 24 weapon skins, 2 emotes, 3 banners, 3 charms, 3,000 split coin, which I'm guessing is the
in-game currency. The real reason you would buy it.
Yeah.
Because everything else they listed, it's like, I'm not paying that much money for...
Mm-hmm.
I'm not paying for skins, man. If my gun does what my gun's supposed to do, or my character does what my character's supposed to do, I don't care how it looks.
Yeah.
It's doing the same thing that guy over there that has the same stuff that I have, even though his looks flashier.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the same thing. Spitting out the same amount of damage, I guess. I don't know how the whole thing works, still.
Yeah, it looks like it's all animations and cosmetics.
With the exception of that
3,000 3,000 units of in-game currency.
And continuing the layoffs, boy, that's just fun news all around, isn't it? Microsoft is seemingly in for another round of mass layoffs. Fresh cuts will be coming just as Xbox seems to be in full retreat from its longstanding console hardware business as it invests more in Windows gaming and bringing some first-party exclusives to PlayStation 5. Bloomberg reports that another big layoff, the fourth in the division in the last 18 months, is on its way before the end of the fiscal quarter this month. Managers are apparently expecting substantial cuts across Xbox, though it's not yet clear which teams or studios might be hit the hardest. This comes as Microsoft is already in the midst of laying off thousands across its sales department. The recent bloodletting began at Microsoft in January of 2024 with 2,000 layoffs across Bethesda, Xbox, and Activision Blizzard. Then there were the studio closures of Tango Games Works, the folks that did the
Evil Within.
Evil Within, and
which I need to finish, by the way.
Starts with an H. I'm suddenly drawing a blank. Hi-Fi Rush.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was also Tango Gameworks. Arcane Austin and others followed in May. 650 layoffs occurred in September of 2024. So, yeah.
I think we mentioned about how Tango, you did good.
They did great.
And you still got layoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you do? Even if you succeed, there's no guarantee you're going to stay open.
Yeah. Okay. Trying to see if there was any more to go into the bad news. We'll start with some good news. Rematch has surpassed 1 million players in its first day of full release. That doesn't necessarily mean 1 million sales.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is for sale, and if you have 1 million players.
Well, you can tell which one is doing well because of the language they use. If they tell you how many sales they got, the company's happy with it. If they try to mask it a little bit, they'll tell you how many players they got.
It racked up nearly 93,000 concurrent players on Steam alone. Impressive by any measure, and particularly so for a Thursday afternoon. Today, which I guess would have been Friday, the studio put an even bigger number on the scoreboard, saying Rematch pulled in 1 million players in its first day of full release. 1 million unique players in 24 hours, they wrote on social media. Seeing so many of you jump into Rematch on day one is incredible. The whole team is super grateful and already hard at work on fixing and improving the game. We are just getting started. By the way, Rematch is a 5v5 soccer game. It looks more like what?
Is it the NBA Jam of soccer?
Well, I was going to say it was the soccer of my brain, man. Me trying to remember Rocket League. Rocket League is already a soccer game, just with cars.
Yeah.
Rematch feels like Rocket League, but with people. So it's just a soccer game.
Okay. Bearing in mind what you can do in Rocket League with these cars.
Yeah, I know. I think you can do some really neat stuff with this too. I don't think it's. Mm-hmm.
It's arcade soccer.
It's very arcade soccer-y stuff.
I'm gonna have to look at this because when you say Rocket League with people, I'm like dudes with jetpacks flying around or something like that. So I'll just have to see. But yeah, arcade style soccer, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're releasing some network performance issues and some bug fixes as well, but they're doing pretty good. It was good to see them to have that. These are the same guys that made Sifu, which if you're thinking I'm saying seafood, I'm not. It's S-I-F-U, Sifu. So, all right, we're going to take another break here, and when we come back, we'll hit up the final segment with the rest of our news, maybe read some of the chat going on there in the, what do we have? Xbox needs to be, well, we'll read Lethal Migraines, Migraineisms. Xbox needs to be sold to a company that cares about its employees. Costco would be a good option. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat here in just a moment. Here is music. Man, here's a good one for you. Titanfall 2. It's the main theme for Titanfall 2. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back into In-Game Chat. Music from Counter-Strike Go. I don't think I've ever used music for Counter-Strike before. Like, I've used music from Uncharted 3 and Prince of Persia, you know, the stuff we've heard so far, but I don't think I've ever touched Counter-Strike before. I'm not sure. Maybe I have. I don't know. We've been on the air for I don't know how many years, so I don't remember everything that we play. Anyway, welcome back to the show here, and we're going to jump right back into news. What did we have recently? Something, Randy Pitchford said something again.
Good or bad?
I don't know. The headline for the article from PCGamer.com says, Randy Pitchford makes people mad again.
Not bad.
By warning that Borderlands 4 will take even longer to get deep discounts than Borderlands 3 did. So, here's the article. Borderlands 3 is 95% off on Steam right now, dropping it to just $3, the lowest price it's ever been, and one of the best deals in the 2025 Steam Summer Sale. Somehow, that screamingly good price has turned into yet another opportunity for Randy Pitchford, the boss at Gearbox Studios, to annoy Borderlands fans on social media. Quoting him, he says, "Sales like this and Borderlands 3 showing up on console subscription programs took over 5 years from the game's launch to happen. Take advantage when it's here." Good advice, Borderlands 3. That was his quote. Back to the article, good advice, Borderlands 3 has been around since 2019, so there's a good chance you've already got it. But if you don't, hey, $3. And, yeah. But he could not help himself, and he continued. Quoting him again. And to set expectations, it will be even longer before this kind of thing happens in the next cycle with Borderlands 4. So he said it was took over 5 years from the game's launch for it to get down to a $3 price tag or to show up on subscription services. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that it'll take even longer with Borderlands 4. To be fair, I think that's pretty innocuous, too, and quite possibly accurate unless Borderlands 4 bombs for some reason. And at this point, that seems unlikely. PC Gamers, one of the PC Gamer guys spent a few hours playing a pre-release build in May and found it not transformative, but solidly consistent, which is likely what a lot of Borderlands fans would want. You know? Don't change anything. Just give us more of what we've been doing. You know? Throw in some new scenery, but don't drastically change anything.
Give us more of what we like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the same time, while it's probably too much to describe Pitchford's message as a gently implied threat, there's a lot of residual sensitivity over Borderlands 4 pricing out there, courtesy of Randy Pitchford's prior tweets and social media hoedown, in which he needlessly floated the specter of a potential $80 cost for the game. That ultimately came to nothing, but not before a week of throwing hands with randos over it. So I suspect some of that was reflected in some of the responses to Pitchford's more recent message, sparked not by the likelihood that Borderlands 4 won't see any sort of deep discount for years to come, but because Randy will just not stop picking at the scab. Somebody on Twitter said, "You and your team make some of my favorite games, but you make it really hard to like you when you spit crap out like this. It's like you never learn." Somebody else said, "I swear he is absolutely terrible at marketing. Why did this need to be said like this?" Somebody says, "I think you need to work on your wording." It spirals down from there as threads on X tend to. A few messages are supportive of Pitchford's urge to help. A few are outright abuse. Some express doubt that it will really take all that long for Borderlands 4 to get to the deep sale treatment. And, of course, there are all sorts of individual requests or demands of the game. There are also complaints about both Borderlands 3 and Borderlands 4 being spyware, a sensational allegation spurned by a recent change to Take-Two Interactive's end-user license agreement that spawned a review bombing campaign across the entire Borderlands series earlier this month. Those claims, no doubt, also helped prompt some of the negativity in the reactions to Pitchford's message. So anyway, yeah. He's just talking again. That game will sell. That game will make money. Because everybody who's enjoying it now will pick it up and, you know, enjoy more of it. Mm-hmm. I'm like I said, we've said this before. I'm off the Borderlands train. Are you going to be there with it? No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're not down with it mm-hmm. anymore either.
No, yeah. Like I said, I jumped off with the pre-sequel.
Yeah,
the pre-sequel is when it just said I'm not feeling it anymore.
Let's see, what else do we have? I don't play Fortnite. I've never touched it, never downloaded it, never looked at it. I mean, I see it because there's advertising, but that's about it. That's the only way I see it. However, the FTC issued $126 million in Fortnite refunds, giving eligible players an extra 2 weeks to apply for their money back. If you played Fortnite, the refund stemmed from a 2022 settlement between the FTC and Epic Games, which saw Epic agreed to pay a total of $520 million in penalties over allegations that it violated the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act and used dark patterns to trick Fortnite players into making unwanted purchases. $275 million of that amount was a penalty for violating the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act, while the remaining $245 million was earmarked for refunds to consumers who made those unwanted purchases. The first wave of refunds went out in December of 2024 to the tune of $72 million, issued over more than 629,000 players or payments. The second round that's coming is even bigger. That was $72 million. This next one's $126 million in total, 969,000 payments being sent out over June 25th and 26th. And it will not be issued as in-game currency. The refunds will be issued as either checks or PayPal payments. Mm. So about around
$200 million when it's all said and done.
If you've already filed for your refund, there's seemingly nothing more to do than be patient and wait for the money to show up when it's your turn. Some people online have said they have already received their refunds that day, seemingly without advance notice. If you missed out on doing the refund filing, they have reopened the process. You now have until July 9th to put in your claim for an FTC for the refund from Fortnite. I never played it. I'm not eligible for the refund. I never had a desire to play it. There was never anything that I looked at and I was like, man, I want to play that. I did jump on like Apex Legends because that seemed more. Well, it was the whole whatever the what was that thing called? What was that genre of game called?
The PUBG genre, whatever. Battle Royale.
Right, Battle Royale type stuff. Yeah, exactly. But Apex Legends was like, no, I think that was single player. Like it was everybody for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking maybe it was a team thing, but it wasn't.
I never got into that that genre.
I never did either. Fortnite, I was never a good multiplayer player type person. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like when I was playing on Destiny and we were doing team based, even still, I was never good at multiplayer.
Mm-hmm.
There was people out there far better than I was, and I never enjoyed it. I did it because I had to for whatever reason, for what the game wanted me to do.
Yeah,
but
your dailies.
Yeah, but a lot of the times, yeah, I didn't mess with that.
It got to the point for me. It was like some point I was like, I guess I just won't be doing the dailies this week because I did not like.
And so
PvE.
To buy a game that is solely based on that,
mm-hmm.
it's not me.
Yeah,
and I never saw the appeal in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I know there are people who love it, who love that style, who love that type of game, but. That game never appealed to me, of style.
Heck, we just talked about it in the first hour. I mean, if someone likes it, I mean, they like it. Have at it.
Lethal Migrant says, the new mode, Fortnite Blitz. He says I should give it a try. Small map, only 30 players, and it's very, very quick rounds. Just that whole thing doesn't appeal, man. Mm. Team-based, maybe. You know? If you're on a team, you can talk to your other players, and you can do that sort of thing. Maybe that's a thing. Because that's what I know from Destiny.
Yeah.
team-based. Unless I was going in solo, because none of my, nobody in my clan was on or playing, and it was just me doing it by myself.
Yeah.
Even though I was on a team, I wasn't communicating with my teammates, and I still didn't like it. But if we were all playing together, yeah, of course, that's a lot of fun. Regardless of what it is, it's fun. But,
yeah.
What else do we have? Yeah, I don't know if we talked about the VR headset, but there was a MetaQuest 3S that was Xbox branded, and it's $400, and it's just Xbox branded. That's it.
Nothing special.
No. It reminds me of back when you used to buy consoles that were branded, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That were, you know, there's the Spider-Man PS5 thing. It's all red with the spider insignia on it.
So basically, this is just like a Tommy Hilfiger t-shirt.
Essentially, yes.
Okay.
Now, it comes with benefits. It comes with an Xbox controller that can show up in your VR thing for whatever reason. Not that, I don't think the controller has any, I don't know, maybe it does. I'm not sure. But there's nothing specific to Xbox about it other than the way it looks.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I thought it might be a really cool thing where it's like, oh, wait, can I bring up my Xbox dashboard in there? Can I play my games on Xbox through the VR headset? There may be a way to probably already do that, but... but yeah, I thought maybe that's what it would be, but it's really not. It's just a brand thing.
Yeah.
It's a limited edition Quest headset. The collaboration isn't quite proof that Xbox is embracing VR and mixed reality. It's being released to celebrate the experience of Xbox Cloud Gaming on the MetaQuest. It's in limited quantities. The bundle will include MetaQuest's 3D headset with 128 gigs of storage in Xbox Carbon Black and Velocity Green. You'd think it was a car. Matching Touch Plus controllers and an Xbox wireless controller and a 3-month Xbox Game Pass Ultimate membership. It'll be sold from Xbox.com, Best Buy. Well, that's it. Xbox.com and Best Buy. It's only two places you can get it. Here in the States. Partnership may appear at its face like an unusual move at this stage of the Xbox business, but the standalone MetaQuest 3S has been capable of playing Xbox Game Pass games for the past 18 months. In December of 2023, Microsoft and Meta brought the beta version of the Xbox Cloud Gaming app to Quest platforms. Quest owners can play titles like Forza Motorsport, Starfield, Hi-Fi Rush on their headset's virtual display without the need to hog the living room TV. Now, Xbox Cloud Gaming players have a headset to call their own with black and green branding. That's okay. Nice. I don't care about the branding thing. It's just the fact that you can play your Xbox games through the cloud, through MetaQuest. That's kind of nice. Cloud's only going to improve, I can tell you that. It's better than what it used to be, man. I remember playing... was it Play On or On? Oh, God, what was it called?
The little black and orange thing?
Yeah.
On Live?
Maybe.
Huh.
You paid for this box, you plugged into your TV, it had a controller, and it would connect to the internet, and you could play games streaming on your TV, whatever it's hooked up to.
On Live?
On Live, yeah. This is going way back, 10 years ago or more. Before we even thought of what we have now for streaming games.
Let's see. OnLive was a provider of cloud virtualization technologies based in Mountain View, California. OnLive's flagship product was its cloud gaming service, which allowed subscribers to rent or demo computer games without installing them. Founded in 2003.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goes OnLive. Way back, dude.
Yeah.
I had one. And it was okay. Now, that was kind of cool for what it was doing. Like, I could sit there and actually play. I played a game. It cost money to play. But you could play, like, the first thing for free or something like that. And I played, I want to say it was Arkham Asylum. Because that's what was going on at the time. And there was input lag. that in this day and age you would not have put up with. But back then you were like, hey, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Watch when I do this. I move my controller, and then the guy on the street, just a little bit later, he turns. But it was kind of cool because he's like, I'm playing a game that is somewhere else, and I'm making it happen from all the way over here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? What a concept. That has since become, you know, what it is today as far as just really good at it.
Like a Sega channel before that.
Oh, my God, yeah. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I once tried to get in there, too, because I had bought a Dreamcast off eBay.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get the DLC content for... what was the Sonic game on Dreamcast? Sonic Adventure?
Sonic Adventure, yeah.
Yeah. I wanted to get the DLC for that, so I had to log in and do all this stuff to grab DLC and whatever else, because there was like the whole thing was like Christmas themed.
Mm-hmm.
They put little Christmas lights up in the city and all this other stuff in the game itself for you to go through and whatever. That was the only reason I wanted it, but I had to get into that for some reason, do it for the Dreamcast.
Mm.
But even before that, what was that called?
Before the Sega Channel?
What was... Oh, no, the Sega Channel. That's what it was called.
That the Sega Channel was 94 to 98.
Then, no, that's not what I was talking about then. Sega Channel was before that. Because Dreamcast came out in 99, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so then...
99.
Yeah. So then that's not what I was doing. I just got online to get
online
to that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't part of the Sega Channel. I remember seeing ads for the Sega Channel, though.
Getting online was through that that disc... I think that came with it or something.
Maybe.
Sega Passport, I think it was called. I think it was something that let you get online with it.
I had to jump through hoops to make it happen.
Yeah.
And I jumped through them just to get that stupid Christmas DLC, which all I did was like wander around the city, look at it for a little bit, and then done.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I'm done. Mm-hmm. I put more effort in getting it than I did playing it.
Yeah.
Or put more time into getting it than I actually did playing it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Sega Channel was before my time. I remember seeing ads for it. I remember seeing in magazines and things like that, and all they would say is, like, contact your cable provider to get it. Well, I called my cable provider. I was like, you know, do you have... No, we don't offer Sega Channel. You gonna? Maybe. Calling did nothing.
Yeah.
Calling did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And I suppose it saved me money because the Sega Channel, what did you say, 95 to 98?
94 to 98.
Yeah.
Well, late December of 94. And then July, end of July of 98 was when they was discontinued.
Hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, throughout cable. I mean, I saw the advertisements for it too, like, especially during events on Nickelodeon in video game tournaments and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw it advertised all the time there.
I remember some people said that they had it, but I didn't have, for one, during that time, I didn't have control over our cable company.
Yeah.
My parents were still paying for the cable bill.
Yeah.
And it was not a situation of, I can change my cable company so that I can make sure I get the Sega Channel.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that. Didn't have satellite, which I think is where you could really get it if you had satellite at that mm-hmm. time. But, yeah, it's just a different time then.
Yeah,
they weren't ready for it. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it would have flown now, but they weren't ready for it.
Yeah, I think this pretty much puts its legacy in a nutshell. It says, though criticized for its poorly timed launch and costly subscription fee, the Sega Channel has been praised for its innovations in downloadable content and impact on online game services.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the first to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't think I've got anything else to go over here. There just wasn't that much going on. I mean, there was no big story as far as a new game announcement or anything. The big story was the release of Death Stranding 2.
Mm-hmm. And it's doing well.
Yeah.
Goodness me.
So, well, what are you going to play in the week coming up? You're going to do more of your, obviously, you're going to do more of your money laundering.
Yep. I'm going to do some more money laundering.
It's fun to say, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
It's fun to say when you actually have no intention of legitimately money laundering.
Yeah, I'm
glad.
Yeah,
or do
so,
you?
Yeah, so yeah,
maybe that's your front.
Yeah, do some money laundering, some coke sales, some meth sales, some weed sales, and counterfeit cash sales. Oh, and fake documents too. I'll be doing that as
oh,
well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, fake IDs for everybody.
Yeah, for me, I don't know what I'm going to play. I mean, I got the altars if I want to, but mostly it's not going to be anything strenuous because of this situation. Now, afterwards, I don't know when things get better after this.
Yeah,
I don't know if it...
Yeah, because it's going to be some recovery time.
I don't know if it's instant.
Because
it's only going to affect... It's only going to affect here. It's only going to affect my neck.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if all this suddenly goes away and feels better. I don't know what happens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not sure what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, I might be back to my mouse and keyboard days. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to wait and see what happens. Yeah. I really don't know. So, but yeah, altars I really want to get into again. I've got blueprints and I really should because everybody I talk to, Matt tells me about it. Everybody who knows the type of games that I like, which are puzzle type games, like, oh man, you're gonna love this. And I'm like, okay, we'll see. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Reading reviews, people are like, oh man, puzzle game, I really love it. Except there's also a level of RNG, which means no matter how much you set yourself up for the right path, at any moment, the next turn you make, the next whatever it is that's the game that moves the game forward, could be the one that ends it all.
Yep.
I'm not a fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
If I plan, if I prep, you know, I want to be assured that whatever's about to happen is going to advance me and not stop and make me start over, because then it's the point of what's the point of planning and preparing?
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of trying to make the right decision when they could just throw something at you that's not the right thing, mm-hmm. if it's RNG? I get that when it's Balatro.
Yeah, because that game is built on adjusting as things change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So. And when you do that, you then discover a path of like, well, this is the road I'm on.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be this one at this point in time to get to where I need to go because there is an end. This is the road that I got to be on, and I got to hope that that's the one that's going to get me there.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. Sometimes you do get to the end of it, and it's like, eh, that wasn't it. So you just start over, and you build a new path of, you know, the way forward type of thing.
Yeah.
But I haven't played this to know the context of what I'm complaining about right now. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for us. I hope you have a good... Yeah, I saw that. That light going nuts. Hope you guys have a fantastic week and a nice weekend. Again, we'll be back. Essentially, we'll likely be back in 2 weeks. Keep us locked in on the social media stuff because we'll let you know there what's kind of going on. If we're going to be back in 2 weeks or if we're going to take another week off afterwards, it all depends. But we'll see. So that is going to wrap it up. I've got music here from Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which I hope we get a remake of. That was something that I would actually jump into. This is called Pirates Beware. You guys have a fantastic week. RJ, thank you so much for coming in.
You're welcome.
We'll see you when we see you. Good night.